Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. And in the studio, I've got Dennis Amor, our community board chairperson. Welcome, Dennis.
Welcome, Aaron. Lovely day. Nice to see everyone out walking this morning.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is nice. Where did you go for a walk?
I didn't. I jumped in my car and drove down.
You drove
here.
Down and observed them walking. So we've just actually been sitting here talking about beach erosion because there's photos on the notice boards alongside the aerodrome, and I've been talking to various other people about erosion. And particularly, I was interested in what's happening between the walk bridge and the boat ramp at Papahua because it is getting close to eating into the car park, I would say. It looks like that's what it wants to do at a point there. So that's alarming. And the thing I didn't mention off the air, but I was looking back through old notes and things, and there was a community board meeting 5 years ago where...
Ooh, I'm off the hook.
Yeah, you are. Well, I don't know. Let's just say it. Yeah, 5 years ago, the council was going to do something about planting along at that point. So that's 5 years ago, and for some reason that hasn't happened.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. We did some planting not long ago on the... on the soccer field end, right on the corner, and they fenced that area off.
Yeah.
I can't comment on why the planting hasn't been done up there. We did discuss at a campground meeting the other day and what can be done along there, and the planting again came up there. But if you have a look in front of the changing sheds, years and years ago, 50 years ago, they put a small concrete retaining wall there, which in parts are covered over in sand now.
But yes.
It's actually stopped the erosion. And I just question whether something like that going from the walkway onto the footbridge all the way to the boat ramp would actually suffice in reclaiming that and wouldn't cost a hell of a lot of money, to be honest, because you can get the pre-slab blocks now and just lay them.
Yeah. I had a conversation with it was Andrew Anderson, who runs the Coast Care program at Regional Council, last week, and he was very sure that planting would be successful and certainly that it should be tried before. I mentioned a groin. I didn't mention what you were talking about. So that's a brief conversation that I had with him about that. I was meant to be talking about something else, but it just occurred to me, so I brought it up. So,
yeah, well, I guess it's a low-lying area, and if global warming is as they say, and you're going to get a 500-millimetre lift in seawater there at high tide, that would then mean that wherever you plant is going to be covered in salt water at high tide.
Yeah.
So you sort of ask yourself, does that make sense? And that's where I struggle a little bit with... you know, guys saying that planting will work as against trying to mitigate it, or which your planting is, or just trying to build something to retain it.
Yeah, I think there's some things that planting works for. Obviously, the areas where people have kind of trampled the grasses and what have you, and then we rebuild that and it works. But we know that there's cycles of erosion that go up the coast, and as you say, projections for sea level rise are pretty bad. And you mentioned half a metre. I know from experience in the soccer fields that even in summer, because I used to run summer soccer a few years ago, and we had 20-centimetre pipes in the ground to put the flags in, and there would still be water in the bottom of those, even during a drought. So that was seawater. So yeah, that's 20 centimetres. So if it rises 50 centimetres, then that's all over for parts of where the soccer is currently played.
And if you look on the western side of the soccer fields, or northwestern side, all the way along where the old pullbox was and all that, you know, they put great big tyres in there years and years ago, and they've done an incredible job at retaining the sand there.
So that's on the inlet side.
Inlet side, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you do wonder if something as simple as that would work longer term.
Yeah, so who's going to do it, Dennis?
Well,
that's the question.
You're not going to get a consent to do that. That's the problem these days.
Right.
So, you know, whether you get a consent to build a retaining wall along there, I guess at the end of the day you've got to make the decision whether you want to retain that land, that block of land, going forward, or whether you don't want to, or you're going to be let it be sacrificed.
And I think at some point...
a bit of the philosophy going around at the moment.
Clearly some bits of land... given projections, will be sacrificed.
Yep.
But there's kind of like, if you spend a small amount of money now, you might get another 20 years out of it. And is that worth doing? And is it really the case that there's no way of getting resource consent, or would it be something that would just, you'd have to work harder to get it?
I think you can get a resource consent. Get a resource consent. You just got to work a lot harder at these days at getting it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, somewhere along the line in the near future, some pretty big decisions are going to have to be made, because if you take the camping ground area, that whole block of Papahua, do you want to retain or don't you? If the scientists are right and we are going to get the global warming, it's all going to be covered in water. So the question is, do you want to retain it as a camping ground going forward? In which case, you need to start thinking now how you're going to do it and what you're going to do.
And where would a new camping ground be?
Well, who knows? That's a totally different question.
Yeah, but that's another question that has to be answered, though.
Yeah, that's right,
one day, maybe not by us, but I mean, the question we have to ask, I have an answer for at the moment, is where's the soccer fields going to go?
Well, you've got that. Yeah, same with the recreation area where the tennis courts and the rugby field are. You know, we need to be asking ourselves some hard questions now. Are we going to keep these, or are we going to relocate them? If we're going to keep them, let's build them up. You know, we can start building these things up so they're another metre higher if we start to think about it right.
Yeah, yeah. Who makes that? Ultimately, I guess it's council that makes the decision. Well, they vote on spending money, don't they?
Yeah, council's got to make those decisions, yeah.
Does the community board have a collective opinion at this point?
Probably not. We'd all have our own views, obviously. Some would be to retain, some not. So, yeah, but But I just see it as something that we've got to start to address rather than just blame global warming and all stand back and do nothing.
Yeah. Well, that pretty much sums it up. So we had a community board meeting 5 weeks ago. There's another one on next Wednesday. Okay. That's here in the town hall, is it, in the supper room?
Yep, the next one will be in the town hall.
Okay. And let me see, what have we got on our list of things to talk about? Maybe look at some things from last time. There were concerns because the meeting was at Tiuku. Were you happy with that Tiuku experience?
Yeah, I think we got a reasonable crowd, which was we were concerned at.
Yeah,
we did manage to get it into the Facebook pages for Wairatuna and Tiuku before the meeting, and we got a reasonable crowd there, and some of the crowd came along to talk about issues that were relevant to Tiuku.
Yeah,
and things like that. So yeah, no, I think it's well worth doing, and we'll do probably. I haven't talked to the rest of the board meeting members. Definitely about it, but in principle, I think we're all happy to go with a meeting each year at Tiuku and a meeting each year at Tamata. Mm. So we'll do one in the spring in Tamata, September, October, sometime.
Okay,
bit
of an echo chamber, the Tiuku Hall.
Yeah, it is. And the secretary doing Rosa made the comment that it was very difficult to hear what people were saying at times. But
yeah, and she was next to you guys. I was near the back, and it was quite challenging.
It's just those community halls. It's a bit like the Surf Life Saving Club building. They're big sort of rooms, and the acoustics are not very good at all.
Yeah, I think if you pull the curtain along the stage, that might provide a little bit of something. Or if everyone wears soft, fluffy clothing.
Or we just cozy up and get a bit closer together.
Yeah, well, that's the other option. Okay, so one of the things talked about by locals was the recycle centre spot there. And I feel like the background, there's a lot of rubbish and there's a lot of illegal dumping. I know people who live out there who've said they've been there, and people coming out from Hambledon have openly said, oh yeah, I dump my rubbish here when I go to the beach because it's free. And with the increase in levies on dumping waste, is this a problem that can only be solved by having a person there on guard, do you think?
Well, if you've got an open area like that, which is not policed all the time, then people are just going to dump their rubbish when they want to dump their rubbish. And similarly, in the evenings or early mornings, they're going to dump their rubbish there. So it's in that respect, it's always going to be a challenge. But I do ask, because we get a lot of cardboard out there, and we've had it since that meeting. We've actually caught up with Steve at Extreme Waste.
Yeah.
But we do get a lot of cardboard and stuff dropped out there. So you do wonder if, you know, those home businesses are dropping stuff off there because it's free. As you say, other businesses passing by drop stuff off there because it's free, and things like that, rather than take them to Extreme and Ragland. We are looking at the options. They're doing a survey at the moment. Doing a review at the options for Tiuku of doing a curbside collection once a fortnight or something like that. Okay. So we are looking at different options as how we can manage it.
If you do that, so that you'd have to set a boundary for where that would go, wouldn't you? Like Orkini Road, Checkley Road.
Yeah, Wairatuna Valley Road, Tonga Road. and those sorts of things.
So everyone in the district will want one then.
Well, you can only go so far, you know. And it would only be done because we've still got issues with the recycling centre that's been set up at Te Uku.
Yeah. I think it was one of those things, historically, it was a nice thing to do when Extreme started, but that was back when it was a dollar a bag.
Yeah, the principle's excellent, but people have got to do their part as well, and that's where we're falling down, that people are not doing their part. And, you know, putting in cameras, they did put in cameras in the early days, I believe, and they got broken pretty quick and things like that. So, you know, it's going to be an ongoing battle as to how we address it, or do we take it away and then do curbside collection in the Te Uku area.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The ongoing saga of the rugby club lights, has that been resolved? And what was this? Was this the lights were on when they didn't need to be?
There were three lights on 24/7, basically. My understanding is that Cushman Wakefield have had a contractor out there a couple of weeks ago, and he's put in time switches and everything like that, and the problem should be rectified. Okay. I've not had any confirmation back from council, but I'm sure I'll be reminded that they're still going at the next community board meeting if they are.
If they are, yeah, I'm sure you will. Now, at the last meeting, there was a discussion too about electric cars, another electric car charging point, and during the meeting you guys were discussing that might be over on Stewart Street. Is that a confirmed?
No, it hasn't been confirmed yet. Well, definitely want to put in some two additional car charging station for two cars.
Yeah.
It was looked to be, they were keen to do it in Wallace Street, just outside Hardy's Fishing. Because there is actually a transformer right there, so the infrastructure costs for them were pretty minimal.
Yeah.
I guess from our point of view, they become designated electric car charging stations, so they take away two other car charging stations. You can argue that you'll have two electric cars parked there all the time charging.
But it might. People felt it might also need to.
You may also get anyone parking there and blocking them from electric car charging stations. So we suggested Stewart Street, which is not too far to walk to town while your car's charging up and buy yourself a coffee and relax. Plus the infrastructure, there is sufficient infrastructure around there to do it.
Some fat cables in my terminology.
Well, it's all overhead up there. But so we've suggested that location, which would, you know, encourage people to park a little bit further out of town, but not too far that they can't walk to town.
Yeah, and they said, like, because we've got the parking right beside us, the charging right beside us here in the town hall, but they're starting to get queues with that now. The popularity has increased. So, yeah, is it up to Well to go and do their technical stuff and then come back and say, yes, we can do it here? Or
They can do it there, and they know that. They just don't want to do it there, I think.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah, so council at the moment is just looking at what's involved from a consent point of view to give them the go-ahead to put them in there.
They wanted to do it outside Hardy's, which is a lot much busier area with a lot of coming and going, parking, people going to Hardy's, to the herbal dispensary, and other things that are happening there.
Everything around there, restaurants and things like that. So,
yeah, it is a busy little spot. Okay, all right, so we'll wait and see on that one, I guess. Freedom Camping was discussed. There's a Freedom Camping review coming up. Is that open yet?
No, the pre-engagement's been and gone. They closed last week, I think.
What does pre-engagement mean?
Well, it's where people can have a say and feedback to council. And the community board did feedback on that. There has been some changes. I didn't realise this until last week, or till this week actually. There has been some changes in the Freedom Camping bylaw legislation.
Oh, the national legislation.
At national level, that they all now, that I think there's a 2-year transition time, but in 2 years' time, all vehicles will have to have a certified self-contained, will have to be a certified self-contained vehicle with fixed toilets.
Oh, not so porta potties will not be legit anymore.
No, porta potties will not be legit anymore. Yeah. But, you know, that's still 2 years away. So we had a discussion with council on Wednesday, I think it was this week, after the council meeting. And we're pushing that there are be more designated areas here, and particularly around where we have already got toilet facilities. But there will have to be a time frame on those. So they've got to be gone by 7 in the morning, for example, if they pass beside the ones in Cliff Street or the ones in Joyce Petrel Memorial Park.
Yeah.
But also get the small car park down by the tennis courts, get that designated as a freedom camping area for self-contained vehicles.
Are the toilets accessible there?
Can they be made? At the moment, I don't believe the toilets are accessible there.
But they could be made accessible?
Possibly in relation, you know, if there was an arrangement come with a rugby club, it's possible. I don't know. I don't know how accessible they are, and to get into them, how much access you then end up to the rest of the building.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Can you just break through a thin wall and into the rest of the building? Yeah. Okay, so that's, I mean, the issue we've had with freedom camping is it's kind of like a game of whack-a-mole. You ban it on a street and so another hotspot pops up somewhere else because of the app situation. Are there any hotspots at the moment? I know we're in the middle of winter, but are you aware of people talking about any particular areas where there's been trouble?
No, I'm not aware of any particular areas at the moment. I know there are still people that camp outside the bowling club. I've seen vehicles down there and vehicles down by John Street, Puri Park, and that sort of thing in the mornings. But I'm not aware of any problems that we have right now with it.
Okay. Yeah.
But as you say, it's winter time, less numbers.
Yeah, so summertime will be the test. I guess the question I'm leading to there is, are there going to be any more spots added to the... Because the way the legislation works, folks, is you can't make a universal ban in your town on freedom camping. You just have to name some specific streets, which have been named. But I just wonder if people might want to add some more.
Well, I think there is a push to add some more. I've certainly pushing them. Why don't we open Wainui Reserve, where we've got toilet and shower facilities, as a freedom camping area? But because it's a designated reserve at the moment, that's not allowed. So there needs to be a bylaw change or a legislation change to allow freedom camping in those areas.
Right.
You know, so because it is an ideal spot. It's out of town, it's not going to worry the public, and you've got all the facilities you need.
Yeah.
And if you don't move at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to cause a problem either because there's enough parking.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, that's the issue, folks. And we'll be making an announcement soon, I guess, that people can respond as the new bylaw. Or the bylaws being rewritten, and that'll be out for people to comment on. Is that what happens next?
Yeah, that'll be the next stage. That's probably going to be a couple of months away, I would imagine, though.
Okay. Tell us about the wharf. Dennis, how's the work going at the wharf? Are we having the celebration, the opening, official opening soon?
Yes, there's a official opening on Friday, whatever date it is, next Friday.
Okay.
7 a.m. in the morning.
That will be the 16th, I'm guessing. Some maths.
Okay, so they have official opening there. The handrail's meant to be finished, and all the other works on that eastern side should be finished by then, I'm told.
Okay, and we'll be allowed to walk out onto the
pontoon. Well, no, you're not allowed to jump off the end.
It's not a swimming pontoon. Fair enough. We got things to jump off in Raglan anyway.
That's right.
What will be left to do? So the handrail will be done. You were talking about getting some signs up, like some storyboards or some artwork or something. I can't remember.
There's various other things that will all happen with the western side of the walkway. So there's still some issues being sorted out on the western side before that work can, from a design point of view, before that work can start. But it's still planned to get that work underway in July and be finished before Christmas.
Okay.
So that'll be basically extending the walkway on the western side all the way down to Tony Slice Pottery, so you won't have to walk on the road and share it with the cars that are driving along there. So that from a safety point of view, that'll make a huge difference.
Okay.
And there's a bit of artwork to be included in that.
While we're talking about the wharf, there has been discussion about boat ramp fees. I see John Lawson showed me a document from council. The staff seemed concerned that there might be some hassles about it, and they wanted to do some more research, which kind of surprised me because I thought boat ramp fees are quite common. But
since we did the submission on it, and whichever bylaw that was, public places one, I think.
Yeah.
I actually haven't heard any feedback on it at all. So yeah, I need to follow that up. But obviously, John's found something, probably the outcome of the meeting that they had on it to that's given him a bit more information.
Yeah, well, John's the master of finding one-line comments and huge council documents, so maybe I should get him to send it to you.
He's welcome to do that. I'll have a read. But yeah, I need to follow up and see where it's got to.
Okay, and the longest-running saga that we discussed, the Manu Bay breakwater, there was there's supposed to be a report coming.
There is a report coming. It's just about which Christmas, I think. There should be something in the Works and Actions report on the council agenda for this coming meeting, and I haven't read it, to be honest, because it only came out yesterday. I haven't had a chance to look at it. But I am assured that we are getting a report very shortly.
Okay. I'm now trying to scroll.
Aaron's now bringing up the minutes, so we might be able to answer your question.
I don't know. It's quite a long document, and you kind of scroll through it looking at, and there's a nice picture there of the kayak ramp and stairs off the eastern revetment.
That's at the wharf, yeah.
That's at the wharf, yeah. That looks good. Scaffolding in place for balustrade installation. So I'm seeing evidence that work's happening, but I could just sit here going silent while I scroll through. And it'll make it for a very, very boring radio show.
You've gone past the Money Bay thing because you've gone out of the actions report, so you'll need to go backwards.
Oh, okay. Well, at least Dennis knows his way around. That's quite helpful.
There are, so you should find it somewhere in there, Aaron.
Okay, car speeding, revocation of State Highway 23. No, it's not in there.
Okay, well, you've...
That's helpful.
You've embarrassed me. I better find the answer before the meeting.
Yeah, well, but it sounds like it should be there.
It should be.
Someone's not put it in.
We will get it added, but we did get an email the other day that was sent out to stakeholders telling them when the report's meant to be coming. Okay. But I think it's sometime in June.
Okay. Now, something that was talked about, has been talked about at previous meetings, was some cars speeding past the BP, and people came to the community board to mention that they were concerned about it. Do we have
Someone in council has talked to the police about it. The police, because it's a 40k area, it's not monitored that highly by the police. They monitor areas above 60k or something. So that area, they don't sit there with their speed cameras and look at it and that sort of thing.
Right, you must have never seen one there.
Yeah, but the indications were they will have a higher presence up in that area to deter people. But
okay, that's what they've said.
Yep.
Okay. The civil defence situation, you and Councillor Thompson and Ross Wallace from the community board have been looking at that over the last few months.
Yeah, we've put it there. I need to get back onto it. Scott Bolt, who's the civil defence liaison guy in WDC, has done a draft document for us based on all the information we've given him. That's back with us to have a look at. Once we've had a look at that, then we'll look at a meeting with interested parties in town.
Okay.
To try and to move that forward. So yeah, it is progressing.
Have you heard from people in town who said, yeah, I'd like to be part of that, or have you talked to people who you think need to be part of it?
A bit of both. Yeah. And we've certainly had people come forward and say, hey, yep, I'd be keen to be involved and that sort of thing, which is really good. So, you know, if there's others out there that want to be involved, just get hold of Lisa or myself or someone on the community board and let us know.
Yeah, and with what we had over on the East Coast this year, it's very topical.
Yeah, no, I realise that. Yeah, the West Coast, though, you know, and it's not trying to downplay it, but if you look back over the last 40, 50 years, when, you know, a lot of the major cyclones tend to miss the West Coast. We got hammered a little bit by Bola years ago.
Okay, I wasn't here for that.
But most of the ones that the country sort of gets hit by tend to run through Northland, down the East Coast, and tend to miss our area, fortunately.
Yeah, the 20-odd years I've been here, the only time I've seen flooding was there was a intense short downpour in the Waitatuna Valley, and for 1 hour State Highway 23 was blocked by Waitatuna Stream and across the road near Cogswell Road intersection.
That was about six years ago.
Yeah, that is the only thing I remember. Of course, we've had surge spilling everywhere, but that's a different scenario.
Yeah, that's a different one, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, in saying that, we still need to prepare because we can have other disasters. Incidents, even, you know, this closure of State Highway 23 caused a fair bit of disruption for a short period of time. So we still need to be able to respond to those things. So we still need a plan.
And we think we don't get earthquakes here very seriously, but that's what they used to say about Christchurch. So
true.
My grandfather used to say, he said, Christchurch is a good place to live, there's no earthquakes. He wasn't around to see his words ruined. But anyway, what else have we got to talk about? Oh, the bus. So staff have been working on something to do with the internal bus service for Raglan?
Yeah, Oricon did on behalf of WDC or Waka Kotahi and Regional Council, have done a report, which they're going to present at the next community board meeting. and that sort of thing. I'm not sure that they've come to a conclusion on what they're going to do in Ragland at this stage. So if people want to see what's, we'll find out more about what's happening with the bus service, come along to the meeting and that sort of thing. And yeah, they're going to do a report presentation. It'll be about half an hour long to the community board, and then we're going to have to look at, you know, where do we go from there.
Yeah. Is without Waka Kotahi, is there enough money?
Well, that'll be the big question going into this long-term plan round, whether how much money is in there for that now. I believe there was some money in there.
Yeah.
But how much money goes in going forward for something like that? And then, you know, it's what is the appetite and what were the numbers of people that said they're going to use it as against the frequency that they'll use it and things like that to make it worth it.
Yeah, and so they've got all that info in there. I'm sure John Lawson will peruse the report with a fine tooth comb and report back to me on Tuesday.
Okay, no, that's good if he does. I'll listen in because they give us a heads up before our meeting.
Okay, right. He'll do the research for the community board. Now you've got something there about that's the long term plan. I see that piece of paper you've got there. Did you have something you wanted to say about that?
No, just the long-term plan process is ongoing.
So that's the council spending plan, folks. It's the serious document.
Yeah, so it's where the council's going to spend the money in the next 3 years, basically.
Yeah.
So as a community, we need to look at what do we want included within that plan. The council up to this stage has sort of looked at some community outcomes statements on social, cultural, economic and environmental aspects, which are really just general statements. But as a community, we need to start flagging where we want the money spent as far as we're concerned. Is it in footpaths? Is it in a youth hub, which has been talked about a lot?
Yes.
Or what other things that we need to, infrastructure things that we need to see money spent on?
Yeah.
Such as a relocation of your soccer fields, Aaron, and things like that.
Not my soccer fields now. I don't have kids playing sport anymore.
So, oh, okay, you're right.
I've completely handed it over to other people to worry about that sort of thing. But I sit here and talk to you, so it just kind of comes up. And I do remember there was a meeting last year in the surf club, and you were there. And I think it was the Coastal Reserves
plan, yep.
Yeah, or the stakeholders. And there was a staff member there who said that they actually, it sounded like they actually had some money aside for buying some sports fields, but the question was where on earth in our hilly landscape where we're going to put it.
That's right, yeah, she did indicate that, and that's what we need to be, I guess, doing some work on is where can we put these sorts of things, or do we want to build a major sports hub somewhere that caters for all sports?
Yeah,
some other centres have done.
And with the discussion we had at the start of our interview about the flooding and all the low-lying areas, which is topical again this week and last week, do we actually need to think that big? Yeah,
well, I think you've got to put all the ideas on the table and then sort of work out what's going to work best, because at the end of the day, we're still a small community. And one big common facility that caters for soccer, rugby, netball, league, and you know, squash courts and everything would make a hell of a lot more sense. Like they did the similar thing way back in Huntley, and when they had all the money coming from when the power station was being built, and there was lots of money poked aside for public amenities and things like that, and they built a great big complex in Huntley for that, and they ended up with league and rugby separate, but they both got enough money for their complexes.
Yeah, the only issue I foresee with putting everything together is the parking situation or the traffic situation. It creates a traffic pile up on Saturday mornings, and having them spread out might be better to solve that problem. But at the moment, like you say, it's a matter of putting every option on the table and seeing what might work.
Yeah. So we definitely need feedback. I've spoken to Gabriel from Regular Naturally as to what their thoughts are going forward and things like that.
Yeah.
So we need to get all those things on the table so we can actually, within conjunction with our council, lobby the district council as to what we want in that plan.
Yeah, and if anyone knows of any flat land that no one else is aware of, let us know, because that would be really handy.
On the top of a hill would be all right.
Yeah. Well, there is a Wainui Reserve.
There is a reserve,
talked about,
yeah.
But I think the staff were worried that all the balls would roll off down the hills on all sides. So
Oh, well, there's ways and means to manage that.
Well, it might be cheaper to build some tall fences than to buy a whole new piece of land.
So. Correct.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I think, is that everything that we thought we should talk about?
Probably the only other thing that's out there at the moment is the trails and connectivity strategy.
Yeah.
Which, if people do want to comment on the pre-engagement, it actually closes today, but they can pick up maps from the library.
Yeah.
And have a scribble on them as to where they think trails should be put. But my understanding is the Raglan Ramblers are already, you know, they've done their bit.
Right.
And things like that. So it's really a matter of whether anyone else in the community wants to have any input, they're welcome to do so.
Okay. And just on something that we haven't talked about for a while, and you may not even have much to say about it, but Three Waters is sort of, it's off out of the headlines at the moment, but it's still a big issue, is... Are you hearing anything, seeing anything, or do you want something to happen?
Like you say, it's out of the headlines, and I've probably, as such, sort of stayed to the side of it while it was such a political issue, and things like that. So, yeah, where it is and where it's going, I'm not sure, Aaron, to be honest.
Did you guys have a tour of the sewage works?
We did have a tour
a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Matthew Telfer from Watercare took us around the sewage works. We had a good look at how they operate and what's and that sort of thing. Yes.
So did you learn anything new about them?
Well, it was quite informative in that to the scale of them and that sort of thing. And that probably didn't learn a lot more than what some people already knew.
Yeah.
And that type of thing. And I guess the question is still, what are we doing going forward? What will the final decision be as far as disposal is concerned and that?
Yeah, so that, and you're referring there to the planned land-based...
dispersal system.
Dispersal is a good word, because we're not just dumping crap on people's farms.
Well, no, you know, what they're proposing is to put it 300 millimetres underground.
Right.
And it'll disperse from there, so... but as to where that's going to happen and things like that, there's still lots of discussions going on.
Are we still waiting for staff to be doing some reports, or people going to be doing reports? Like they had to look into what would happen to groundwater around that area, where future roading networks might go.
There's all those sorts of things to look at as to where they do the dispersal, because you know they've talked about up towards Mungatawhiri Road on land up in that way. And things like that. So, and then how's that impacted by any roading development that's going to occur going from Te Huduwai to Mungatawhiri Road and across the Wainui Road and those sorts of things.
And that brings us back once again to the issue of a structure plan.
Yeah.
Can we get that into the long-term plan?
Well, we could get some money for it into the long-term plan.
Because it requires staff to spend hours working, so that's money. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I tried to ask the mayor about that last time I interviewed her, but she was a little bit vague and hand-wavy about it, so...
No comment on that one.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just... Yeah, that means that we have to do the work to make sure it gets in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, we do. The more noise...
As a community,
The more noise we can make, the more pressure we can put on our councillor, dare I say it, so that they stand up in council and say, we want these things.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Dennis, thanks for coming in this morning.
No problems, Aaron.
And we'll spot you on Wednesday at the meeting.